Blog Talk Radio. And I'm glad that you could join me here today. We have here in the metropolitan Detroit area a cold but still absolutely wonderful day in that it's not snowing. And if you have been anywhere around here lately, you know what a relief it is. I am often amazed or astounded that people crash every year in the snow that have lived here all their lives. And I'm kind of wondering where you've been. Didn't you know this stuff was coming? But still, it happens. Now, I've been away for a little bit. We took a break over the holidays, and then I had business to handle. I still have your emails with the questions that you have mailed me. I want to encourage you to do even more. Mail them on in. And you would do that at livingsavedwithrevkareen.com. Just email me what you want to know. I'm not running or ducking or dodging from any of these. Let me get to a question right now. Dear Pastor, I was just wondering how to really have a relationship with God and have it be a good relationship. I know about becoming saved, and I have done that, but I don't feel that I've entered into a real lasting relationship with Him because I'm not really doing anything different other than trying my hardest not to commit any sins. How do I get that relationship that I've heard you talk about? Okay. Yes, I do frequently talk about having a relationship with God because that's what we're supposed to have. It's not just a being, a superior being who's up there looking down and saying, well, you move here, you move there. You know, our Heavenly Father, and that says a lot, doesn't it, wants to have a relationship with us. It has always been that way from the very beginning. His intentions, His desires has been to communicate with us and to commune with us, to have fellowship with us. I am a very firm believer that we can have that effective relationship with God. If you would, look at Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 25 and reading through chapter 10, verse 11. In that first section of that 9th chapter, verses 1 through 6, you see God's provision. In spite of provocation, God still provides because He's faithful. And then in that 7th through 24th verse, Moses reminds Israel of problems because of provoking God. Moses' prayer is on behalf of the people. And it's a reminder of Moses, that we respond to God's commands, and God renews the covenant after Moses' prayer. Now, when we stop and look, and I said that God has always wanted a relationship with us, it is essential in the establishment of an effective relationship that both parties understand the requirements. And that section of scripture that we started off with, 25 through 10, 11, it deals with, sets forth a clear cut requirements for having that kind of a relationship with God. Now, what exactly do I mean by having an effective relationship with them? One, both parties find pleasure. Two, both parties receive benefits. God is glorified and exalted in the believer's life, and we in return are blessed beyond our wildest dreams. And then, of course, three, both parties understand the requirements. When we want to have an effective relationship with God, He's not hiding what's expected. We can't expect to have that relationship with Him, not an effective one, when we're not paying attention to those things that He sets forth. The requirements in the scripture that we're using, they're designed to enhance our relationship with God, moving it from the superficial to the depth relationship. Think of it as moving you from low rent to high rent, if you would. It's not that we don't have a relationship with God once we surrender ourselves to Him. All right, we're saved. That's great. We have a relationship with Him. Now, how can we be effective in that relationship? That's what we're going to delve into, because I think that's the crux of this question here. Not just having a relationship, your surrender and saying, Lord, I want to be forgiven for my sins, repentance, and I want to serve you. That established your relationship with Him. But how effective you're going to be in that relationship is another matter. The more we consistently meet the requirements, the more stable and satisfying our relationship with God will be. Now, I know that that's not something that we often want to hear, but it remains true. In order for us to have that effective relationship, not just one that's just, but that one is all right, then we want to be effective in that. We want to reach for that goal instead. Now, the first requirement is to fear the Lord. And, of course, that doesn't mean to be in terror of Him, but to possess an attitude of deep respect, or more appropriately, possessing an attitude of reverence, fear, respect, whatever word you choose to use, begins inwardly. It is a state of being that you have from the inside, and it works its way outside into the things that you say, the things that you do. That's just the way it is. Reverence will always manifest itself outwardly. We can always tell who really reveres God, who really respects Him, or fear, whatever word that you want to say. It's always apparent because their attitude is one of, I know that He knows best. I know that I think I know best, but I really know that He actually does know best. And because He does, and because He's trustworthy, I'm going to submit and do it His way. By having that type of attitude, we automatically will have to have it appear on the outside. You can't say, oh, yeah, I do, and you never show that in your life. Your language is profane, or you have a little problem with the truth, any number of things. But to show that you respect God, that you revere Him, is to understand that He is the creator and the sustainer of all life. Be of reverence by recalling His faithfulness. We remember His greatness. We remember His provisions. We remember His love. We have to recall His faithfulness to us. We spend time in prayer listening for His words, because in them we find wisdom. We're not looking for Joe Kuhl's wisdom. We're not looking in a philosophy book, but we're looking to hear from our Heavenly Father, because His words, man, they're the greatest thing that I ever heard. It's not a question of us being brilliant or having philosophy behind us. It's a question of us knowing that all true wisdom comes from above. And because we find wisdom in His words, we're looking not only to read them, but we're looking to hear from Him. Now, you may say, well, come on, Pastor, God doesn't speak. Why? Has He suddenly become mute? He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And He certainly spoke in the Old Testament. He spoke in the New Testament. I'm not quite sure why we would think, well, that was then, and so He doesn't want to talk to us anymore. True, we probably have ticked Him off many, many, many times, as man has done since the beginning of our time. But that has never once stopped God from communicating with us, speaking with us. So I think one of the problems that a lot of us have in developing that relationship is that we have a Western mentality in that quick, quick, hurry, hurry. And we're not quite willing to sit there and wait to hear from the Lord. We just, okay, He didn't say anything. It's been 40 seconds now, or it's been 2 minutes, and I still don't know anything more than what I knew in the beginning. And I'm always reminded, and you've heard me use this illustration before, that astounding thing to me about Moses and Mount Sinai, when he and the elders went up into the mountain and they sat there, and I don't know what they were doing. Maybe they were playing cards. I don't know. But I do know that after a period of time, the Lord said to him, you separate yourself and you come up a little higher. And so he left the leaders behind and he went up a little higher into the mountain. And of course, we know he receives the Ten Commandments written on the stone. But he goes up higher. There was nothing said immediately. There wasn't anything said when he got up there. There was nothing said on the first day, the second day. It was on the third day that God spoke. We would have been saying, well, obviously he's not going to speak, so I've got nothing to say to him. I'm going to go back down and join my buddies. We have to get to the point where we're willing simply to sit and to wait and to listen to what the Lord has to say to us. He's not speaking because we're not willing to take the time to listen. I mean, who's going to keep talking knowing that they're not being heard, knowing that they're not being listened to? I believe, and completely, that God does speak to us today. I know this to be true because, not just because He's spoken to me, but because He doesn't change. Because the same things that He's done since our human history has begun, He has remained consistent, the same being. So yeah, He's willing to speak to us, but we have to, that's part of developing, I should say, that attitude of reverence, to recall His faithfulness and spend time in prayer listening for His words. And then we have to value His words, not as a general guideline, but as life-sustaining. It's good to say, oh, yeah, I heard what you said, and that's great. But if you hear what I say and you ignore it, then you've done nothing. It's like saying, oh, man, I have a headache. Yeah, there's a bottle of aspirin sitting here on my nightstand. I have a headache. And you never open and take an aspirin. The headache remains. You know that the aspirin will help alleviate the pain, but if you never take it, then it really doesn't do any good by it sitting there in the bottle. We have to value God's word as being life-sustaining. That's what's going to keep us going when everything else fails, when life seems to be overwhelming, when we have difficulties, when we can't communicate with our best friend or our family members, or no one else seems to understand. Pastor is a little busy and he can't do it, and the associate pastor is out of town, or whatever it may happen to be. My prayer partner is already praying, but I'm just not getting it. We understand and revalue his word as this is my map. This is what's going to get me from point A to point B without going through unnecessary detours in my life. It's going to hinder my life or make my life more difficult. So we know this and we understand that if I'm going to stay path of living saved, then I have to know and value his word. We bring ourselves under submission. The best way to bring ourselves under submission is that, oh, I know we hate it, but fasting. Yeah, it's the best way to do it. You're going to let out a lot of you and take in a lot of God. There are other ways to develop an attitude of reverence, and you can probably think of those ways. I've just given you a couple of ways in which to do so. But the idea, the concept, is for you to have that reverence for God, to meet that first requirement. It's no great mystery why Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. And that's what magnitude of reverence is, an inward development, and it's required if you're going to have an effective relationship with God. And that's what we should be aiming for, is that effective relationship. Going to look at some more of these requirements here. Right after you listen to a little of our guests, not our guests, but our former guests, Anna Marie. Aim High.
Achieving your dreams.
And we are back. That was Anna Marie McCutcheon. And if you would like to get a copy of her CD entitled Aim High, then you can do so on Amazon, I believe it is. Just look for it around. You'll find it. We certainly want to support her in her endeavors as becoming a gospel singer. Okay, we were talking about the requirements of getting that effective relationship with God, going beyond just the standard relationship. And, I mean, who wants to have a mediocre relationship? I mean, who's willing to settle for that? Don't you want a relationship that is going to mean something, that's going to be effective? Well, the second requirement, we've got reverence as the first one. That second requirement is in all his ways. Our inward reverence. Inward respect, inward fear for God will reveal itself in our walk with him. So how we act, our response to God's will, his commandments, reflects our relationship with God. When we're lackadaisical in our worship life, what is our attitude? When we are careless in our speech, then we do need an attitude adjustment. When we pick up the world's garbage, we need to check our attitude. We're supposed to walk in all of his ways. We have to follow his direction if we're going to be in an effective relationship with him. What is God's direction? David sums it up by saying, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me beside the still waters. You remember that. He leads the righteousness for his name's sake. That's Psalm 23, in case you don't know. What's some of the words that we can use to describe his ways? We can certainly use that they're holy. We can certainly use that they're just. We can use that they're righteous. We can use that they're loving. We can use that they're... You get my drift. These are the words that we can describe his ways, the ways of God. Is it that hard for us to relate to these words, to walk in those words? If we can do that, then our walk is going to show how we feel and how we are determined to live our lives. Stop and think a bit about Joseph, who's when he was in captivity there, and his master's wife said, "Hey, you're good looking. You're a fine-looking young stud there. Come on, lay down with me." And Joseph said, "I'm not going to sin against God or my master." And he actually ran out of his clothes to get away from sin. What Joseph did was to display an attitude that says, you know what? My relationship with God is important. It's vital that I walk in the way that is going to be most pleasing to him. I can't do sin and expect to be pleasing to God. That's something that we have to understand. In order to have an effective relationship with God, then we can't just talk. We actually have to walk. We can't say that God is this way and God wants us to do this and then not do it. We're only as effective as we're willing to walk in that step. Let's look at the third requirement. And we can define that as love is giving a person your full attention. Anything less is unacceptable. Let me repeat that again, if I can remember what I just said. Love is giving a person your full attention. Obviously, full attention doesn't mean staring at an individual 24 hours a day and look doe-eyed at them, but full attention does mean that not only when he speaks do I listen, but I'm looking forward to hearing from that individual. I'm looking forward to hearing from him. It may not be an easy thing to listen to, but I certainly want to hear what he has to say. He has my complete attention. I'm not paying attention to anything else. If you happen to be determined to have an effective relationship with God, then you're going to have to pay attention to what he says. Pay attention. That's not another way to put it. Prayer time isn't supposed to be a drudgery, but a pleasure. And we should pay attention to not only what we're saying, but to what God is saying to us. We should give our full attention to the movements of God, the concentration of ourselves to be what he wants us to be. It's giving him our full attention. Okay, this is my plan, and this is what I want, and this is what I want to do. But Father, I'm more concerned about doing what you want. I'm more concerned about following your will and doing it your way. We have to pay attention. We have to watch wherever the Spirit goes and follow the Spirit. When we consecrate ourselves to be what he wants us to be, then we're giving him our full attention. To him, it's a display of love. If we love someone, and we say that we do, then we're not going to ignore what they're saying. We're not going to do that. We're going to listen to what they're saying, because what they're saying, we value it. We consider it. It's an important part of not only who we are, but who we're hoping to be. So when we say that, well, I hear what God has to say, and we don't live in that, then we're not giving him our attention. We're not paying attention to what he's saying, because he's going to say the same thing. Faith. Components that make up faith. Active, trusting, obedience. You cannot have faith without having those three elements. You can't separate them and say, well, I'll have this and this, but not that one. It doesn't work that way. You know, I'm aware that we may want it to work that way, but it doesn't work that way. It just does not. We have to pay very close attention to how the Spirit is leading us. We have to pay very close attention as to what God requires from us. As the preacher in Ecclesiastes says, the whole duty of man to fear God. Come on, you know the rest of the verse. I know you do. And we're going to recite that verse after this.
Just like the day and night, sometimes in life, we go through the ups and downs. Yeah, that's right. You know, and we feel the pain and we cry. And sometimes this roller coaster ride just takes a little while longer. That's right. The bottom line is we ain't gonna give up at all, because we know our God. He's the faithful God. Come on, Denise, jump the first.
And the storms come raging in your life when clouds are dark and thunder strikes. You lift up your head to the sky, know that he is nigh. He will come to rescue you. He's always there for you. When the mountains seem so high to climb, and when the valleys way too deep, I'm hands upside down. Lift up your head to the sky and notice He's nigh. He will come to rescue you. He's always there for you when you sound that there's no fault at all. When those around are waiting for your fall, lift up your head to the sky and know that He is nigh. He will meet your desperate need. He never sees.
Come on, give Him thanks. Hallelujah. The one who brought the light.
Requirements that we have already gone through, and the first one was, oh, I was going to give you that scripture again in case you didn't know it, that found in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I was going to see if there was another translation for it, but I didn't want to look it up, so I will just give you the standard King James Version. However, the thought is what we've been talking about, giving Him our full attention. We don't have anything else in life to accomplish, really. You may be thinking, well, we've got jobs, and we've got family, and we've got this, and we've got that. Come on. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in my life. Okay, great. How is that going to help you in eternity? Is it going to get you where you need to be? No, it's not. You're not going to get where you need to be because the only way to get there is to give Him your attention. Don't be looking here and there and finding out a different way that you can solve your problems and get your solution out there or negotiate for your winning ways. Oh, my goodness. If you're going to be effective in your relationship with God, if you're going to have one that's going to continue on, then you need to start paying attention to what he's saying. It seems simple, but we do make it complicated. To remind you once again that you can email me with your questions, and I will gladly go through them. We're still on the one question that we started off with. I'm sorry, that we started off the broadcast with, and that is about relationship with God and being effective in that relationship with him. So we have three other requirements. The first one we said was to reverence or fear the Lord. And the second one, the second requirement was to walk in his ways. And the third one was our love. Giving him our full attention shows our love. He certainly shows his love by giving us his full attention. We can do the exact same thing, not only to him, but to others as well. Now let's look at that, continue with that prayer time. And of course, it's supposed to be a pleasure. It's not supposed to be a chore for us. Something, oh man, I got to go pray. It should be something that you look forward to. Every time that it's, you should be excited about having the opportunity just to spend time with your Father and communication with him. A full attention to the movements of God is vital if you're going to have an effective relationship with him. You can't have it any other way. So let's display our love toward him by paying attention to him, giving him our full attention. Because that's definitely going to show our love. We have a fourth requirement. We're supposed to serve with our hearts and our soul. When we love God as we should, then we're going to be motivated to serve. There are no lazy Christians. They don't exist. There are people who say that they're Christians. But if they're lazy and they're not doing anything for the kingdom of God, then I have to doubt whether they really are. Because there's no such thing as being a lazy Christian. And if you think that there is, well, can't exist. Laziness and Christian, those are foreign concepts. Doesn't happen. When we love him as we should, then we're going to serve him. The service may not be in the same capacity during our entire Christian journey. It may not be. It could easily change. But love is going to motivate service. The challenge is to fulfill God's requirement habitually. Moses points to the greatness and love of God in these verses, in our passage, points that he brings out. God is supreme, yet he stoops down to Israel. That's in verses 14 and 15. God is mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality, nor takes a bribe, yet he's sympathetic toward the weak and undefended. Verses 17 through 19, God is powerful, yet he is personal. There in verses 20 and 22, fear, serve, hold fast. These are the marks of the individual who's going to have that effective relationship with God. You ask me how you do it. This is how you do it. The Bible is very clear on all of its standings, on all of its stances, on all of its doctrines, on all of its teaching. It's clear. Don't try to muddle them up with, well, you know, I think it's this way. it really doesn't matter what you or I think. What matters is what the Word of God says. And if you're going to have an effective relationship with God, then you're going to have to meet these four requirements. So while you're out there looking, stop. Use these scriptures as your guide. And you will find that you will have that relationship that you're looking for. Change you entirely. Understand, it's going to change you from the inside to the outside. And isn't that what salvation is all about? That immediate change, that making us into something else, something better than what we expected in our lives. It is so important for us as individuals, so important for us as children of God, to be willing to have that act of trusting obedience operational in our lives 24/7, 365 days out of the year. Or if you're in leap year, to 366. The concept, the idea, the goal is that I want to be in service. I want to be in a true dynamic relationship with the Father. And if I want that, then I have to understand and go by the fact that he expects things to go in accordance to his will and not mine. I may be smart, but I still couldn't create a universe. I may have street smarts save anyone from sin. You get the point here? Is that regardless of what or who we are, our strength, our being, our understanding, our growth comes from having that relationship with God that says, I'm willing to do it all, whatever you want me to do. No, I'm not willing to run in front of you, Lord. I don't want to do that. But I do want to do what will make me the person that you're calling for me to be. That's the most vital thing that we can do, to become the person that God wants us to be. All right, so we're going to end that question on that effective relationship with God right there and move on to another one here. And it says, I hear that God is called by many different names. I know of only a couple. Can you tell me the names of God? Wow. Do you have about 5,000 years? No, I'm just kidding. There are personal names of God, and then there are symbolic designations, and of course there are titles that he has as well. There are quite a few. When we start looking, we have those personal names of God, Elohim, plurality and unity. There's El, just El, the strong one. There is Ella, the adorable one. And by the way, no, I'm not even going to go in that direction yet because I don't want anyone to get confused. Then there's El Elyon, God Most High. Wow, this could take a while. El Ro, the God that sees, the Lord that sees, I'm sorry. And then there's the God of Israel, the God of Eternity. You want to write all these things down? There's El Shaddai, the Almighty, All-Sufficient One. There's, you've asked a complicated question in that unless you're going to go into a study on this, it's not going to do you much good. I understand that we want to know a lot about God, but here's what I'm going to recommend. Start in the book of Genesis. And you find every instance in the Bible where God is called by name, whether it is God provides or whatever. And you're going to run into a couple hundred names there. For me to sit here and to go through all those names with you isn't going to mean much to you. However, your question did come up, and this is what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to email you back information. You can thank me later. But it will be something that you will enjoy going over. It's more like a case study. So, not really a hard question. I'll email you the divine names, and if you want the titles as well, I will give you those as well. Let's hear a little bit of Mahalia Jackson.
Jehovah God, over. How did I make it over? You know my soul, back in wonder. How did I make it over? How I made it over. I'm gonna walk the streets of gold. This evening, I come to thank him. This evening, you know, all night long, God kept his angel watching over me. Early this morning, early this morning, God told his angel, God said, touch her in my name.
How I Got Over. Still, it's good to hear those old songs again. We don't have time for one more question, but I do want you to know that you are welcome to email me your questions. That is, again, Rev Kareen, R-E-V-K-E-R-R-E-N-E, at livingsavedwithrevkareen.com. And I will gladly answer whatever you have. If you missed your question being answered, I am so sorry. I will try to answer it again. Email them to me again, and I will go over them again. I don't have a problem with doing that. But it's asking me a lot to actually try to find those questions again. It's always a pleasure to join you and to be with you on this day. Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a pleasure just simply to do the work of God and the will of God, and that's what I want to encourage you to do. Whatever life brings you, whatever happens, do that one thing. Accomplish that in your life. Find out what God wants from you. Not what he wants from me, but what he wants from you. And we've already discussed part of what he wants, and what he expects is right there in Ecclesiastes. That's your whole duty. There's nothing else that is more important that you could possibly do than to serve the Lord. We can do this, people. We can live lives that are above sin, that are free, that are productive, that are worthwhile. We don't have to have any identity crisis about who we are. We can simply be the children of God and live in accordance to that. And I want to make it clear, as I often do, we're all God's creation. We're not all his children. To do that, we have to have that effective relationship with him. We have to have that. Excuse me. Now, we've come to the end of the show, and I want you to know that it's been a pleasure. Until we meet again, may God bless you and keep living saved.
No one stopped to look or stare. As I look upon the hill, I see something so unreal. I see my Savior nailed to the cross. He did it all for me, right here. Pouring in.
Good night, everyone. Have a very blessed weekend. Go to church on Sunday.